5-4-3-2-1. I'm Laura Christine. This is the Get Low Show. Just fooling you. Wanted to... Oh, hold on. The drums are kind of high on that one. Want to make sure that we're pushing the right button right here at the top of the hour. I'm supposed to do my underwriters. This out-of-the-box show is made possible by listeners like you and the good people at Kalaeo Chiropractic and Hawaii Gaga, and also the Kauai Paramedics Association. These folks are supporting us here at Kauai Community Radio, and we mahalo them and mahalo you for listening and for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
Kalaeo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580, or online at kalaeochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
Kauai Paramedics Association, proudly serving Kauai's community for over 15 years. The men and women of the Kauai Paramedics Association are pleased to support this Hawaiian music program on KKCR.
Announcing the Reach Basketball Clinic, July 10th through 12th at the Kilauea Gym. Open to all boys and girls age 9 to 18. This three-day basketball clinic has two purposes: to help participants excel as individuals and as a team through teaching the fundamentals of basketball, and to instruct, encourage, and minister life application skills. With former professional player Rick Harville and Harlem Globetrotter Sherwin Durham, scholarships are available. That's the Reach Basketball Clinic at the Kilauea Gym, Thursday through Saturday, July 10th, 11th, and 12th. More information from Mike at 346-2926, or you can pick up an application at the Calvary Church North Shore in Kilauea.
Yes, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Thank you for being our underwriters, and thank you for being our listeners. We've got about an hour and 50 minutes of community forum lined up for you. Today's guest, Felicia Cowden, who's running for council. Tiana Lorano, she was also running for council, but unfortunately had another campaign obligation, so we'll hopefully get her on the air sometime before it's all said and done. I want to run this because it's important we do this, just because of the fact, got to do it.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The people, and we're standing together in unity. And I love the looks of unity in this room. Mahalo. Mahalo to you for coming and to see that we can be unified. I want to kill that paradigm that says that Hawaiians are not unified. We are today. This is our moment of unity. And I'm standing here proud to see all of you here tonight, because I know that it was hard to come here. It was hard for me, too, because I thought this was all a farce as well. I don't agree with some people that don't agree with us, but that's okay. Everybody is, they have the right to have their own opinions. But I do want to say that I want to speak here for our people, our lands, our culture, and our kupuna. And at this time, I do want to invoke the presence of our kupuna, your kupunas as well, as all of ours here, that they may come here and be in our presence tonight and see how their descendants are speaking up. Because why? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our kupuna and for what they did for us back then to help and protect our aina, so that today we have something. We do have some aina. They haven't taken it all away. In fact, they haven't really taken it. It's still here. We still have it. We just need the power to rule it like we did before. We want that authority to rule our aina like we did before. That was what was taken away. That was what usurped from us, the power to rule ourselves and to rule our lands. So, moment of unity, we do have to do it. Everybody's been saying we got to get together and we got to do it. It's been 121 years, folks, and we have been trying. I'm not saying we didn't try. We have been trying. And that sign over there says POW. But stick with it. I want to just say, may Akua bless each and every one of you to live Pono and to come together. And let's start putting our nation together. We can. We can do it. You know why? We're sovereign. Our sovereignty still exists. The kind of government we want is a nation-to-nation government, not a government-to-government. You are talking to the Native Hawaiian community. You're saying, we want you to come and address us as a nation. A Hawaiian nation speaking to you, the federal government. And I do have some bugaboos about the state government, too. It's not only the feds that have been hurting us and suppressing us. It has been the state government. The state government is the one that has been arresting us because we try to protect our iwi kupuna. What kind of laws and government is that that cannot allow us to protect our iwi kupuna? Aole. Aole. And I have to read this. They said to follow the rules, and this is what they say I have to say. So here goes. I, Puanani Rogers, protest and oppose the advance notice proposed rulemaking regulation identifying number 1090AB05 and say aole, which means no in English, and also aole to your questions from 1 to 19. And I say this for the record because I think someday if my mo'opunas may find out about this event, and they're going to check and find out, and they're going to see that they're tutunani. Her name was on the record. She protested to protect her aina. Mahalo.
There we go. Mahalo, Auntie Nani, for representing the people so well. That was at Kapaa Elementary School at the Department of Interiors. If you haven't been paying attention, there's been meetings all around the state for... the question of how do we engage the Native Hawaiian community, and so fortunate to have Cousin Randy Rego here joining us on mic number one. Let's go ahead. Aloha right there.
Mahalo nui.
Right on. And Felicia, how are you?
I'm really happy to be home here in KKCR in the studio.
It's been a while, and we get a chance to talk story in the afternoon with our listeners about matters of great importance. And you know, I was glad to see you there, Felicia, Monday. I was really glad to see so many people at that show, at the Dog and Pony Show.
At the event.
at what I figured was kind of, for us, I mean, I've only lived here 15 years. I've attended a number of community meetings, but I look forward to just seeing my Kanaka brothers and sisters and my Haole allies and all of us who want to see justice and the nation restored. Cousin Randy, what did you think of the turnout? And I appreciated what you had to share. Bring our listeners up to speed, those who haven't been paying attention to what's going on statewide.
Well, basically, the DOI, the Department of Interior of the United States of America, is coming down here to, quote, talk with the Hawaiian community on whether or not they should establish a program which will basically incorporate us under the federal law, much like the American Native American tribes on the mainland. And they had five questions. I don't have them on there, but basically right. They're asking input from the Native Hawaiian community. I did go to Waimea, and me and Auntie Nani, we thought it was proper to let the West Side speak. Mm-hmm. So we went there just to holona, to listen. Mm-hmm. And we kept our testimonies for Kapaa side. And I did my testimony. We had a lot of testimony from a lot of kupuna, surprisingly, even some from Oahu came over.
Right.
And, we're basically, the majority is saying no, that we don't want to them to continue. We don't want any processes brought down by the Department of Interior. And everyone knows the Department of Interior's track record with the Indian Native American Indian tribes up there is atrocious, and it's well documented. So we don't want to be part of that program. And what I thought that was interesting, a lot of speakers were talking about, okay, Hawaiians, but what do we do mm-hmm. when they leave here? You know, because right now we're all in separate entities. You have reinstated, you have Ato'ai, mm-hmm. you have all those separate. How right. are we going to approach this with when they leave here? It's nice to see them all together in these meetings, unity saying no.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of the speakers were commenting that there, something has to be done to unify the people once they leave. And sadly, you know, you had only 2 minutes, so you had to speak very fast. But from my na'au inside, what I really feel is this is a process. This process, and I hope I'm wrong, I got to feel this process is going to be pushed through no matter what the Native community says. Is going to be pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
You got the governor, you got delegates of the state of Hawaii, you got the Obama administration pushing this stuff. And it's all what we all know is so they can control our land and assets. And I feel really deep inside. And I talked to one of the commissioners or one of the board members, and, you know, we went through this in the 1980s when the Reagan administration brought down a commission to talk to the Native Hawaiians. And that's when I first got my inkling with the federal government, still believing in America,
right,
coming from California, still believing this would be corrected. And when they came back with a 3-4-inch book, which basically stated, after all this testimony and all the Hawaiians saying that, you know, we need our country back, basically, the administration came back and said, everything that happened through the Hawaiians in 1893 and after that were your own fault. And I remember I was a young kid. I was about like 22, just going to college. And I took that book, and I remember opening my back door in Kaneohe, Oahu, and I threw it in the river. And ever since then, I've been full on a patriot of Hawaii. I've never stood up for the American anthem again. And I really feel deep down inside. I told him, I know you can't really answer me honestly, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is this just a show where you guys are coming out to the community like you did in the 80s, and we all tell you our story, and in the end, you basically do what you want to do? You know, and I mean, look, they didn't listen to the Native Hawaiian people of a separate country back in 1897. Do we really feel they're going to listen to a Native people that have been under their thumb for over 100 years? I hope I'm wrong, but I just feel that deep down inside, this Department of Interior's position and their program is going to be pushed through regardless what we say.
Mm-hmm. Felicia Cowden, what do you think?
I was there both nights, and, you know, there was definitely a very different emotional tone, I think, in the Waimea meeting than there was in the Kapa'a meeting. I didn't come away with the same takeaway, but you understand the issue much more thoroughly. What I felt that I heard them saying, especially at the Waimea meeting, is that they're having all these events in each of the places, each islands, and they're going to go around the continental United States and talk to Kanaka Maoli there. And I felt that I heard them go, we get it, we get it. This is a State Department issue and not a Department of the Interior issue. And I felt like I heard them backing down. But you have more experience with this, and, you know, to have 15 meetings is more than I think normal. But it seemed to me that they were saying they hear it overwhelmingly that there's not support for this from the community that lives in the islands.
Yeah, I agree with they hear it. Now, are they going to act accordingly? And mm-hmm. and history tells us, you know, that there's reason, there's reason for our skepticism. History tells us that, you know, our country has a poor track record of honoring treaties, especially those treaties with entities that have something that they want.
But is it also possible that, like, this was partly brought up by a lawsuit and some different requests? I mean, the timing is questionable, right? The timing is questionable. What do they want? That's mm-hmm. that's definitely mm-hmm. something that I ask. But, you know, they were certainly offering a lot of carrots, right? Dangling a number of good things that sound positive. And so maybe, you know, I'm thinking they'll say, well, we offered and you didn't want it, so, you know, we are no longer obligated to offer any kind of special concessions. You know, I mean, I was feeling like, well, you know, where's the win in this for them when everybody says no? They can say, okay, well, we offered, and yeah.
Well, I think, and from my experience, going back to the 80s, I've gone through these meetings where the community has come out in big numbers, and even at a county level, too, here, for Cocoa Palms,
mm-hmm.
overwhelmingly no, the permit gets passed anyway.
Right.
So I've seen it over the years, and I just see they can't. This is too big of a carrot for them to get this thing pushed through and have some Hawaiians, which I consider, you know, for lack of a better word, traitors to their native country. When they put that sign on it, then the federal government can finally say, "Yes, you're under our thumb officially now. Now we can really do what we did to the Indians under the Bureau of Indian Affairs and under the Department of Interior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where they're going at. The assets, we all know the Hawaiian lands is too valuable. What they have here and what's going to go on is too valuable, regardless of what the Native Hawaiian community said. They're going to push this through, especially, like I said, you have the heavy hitters in there, the governor, the delegates to Congress, the Obama administration, and that's going to be their backup. Well, you know, the governor said, and, you know, and even though the Hawaiians came out, you know, this is a policy that we want to pursue. I've heard it before, mm-hmm. and I hope I'm wrong, but in the past, that's what they've done.
I went to the Ahumoku meeting in Anahola for Armoku. Like that, just for listeners who don't know, that's a resolution or an ordinance, actually, a law that was passed in our state Congress that's basically giving a may rather than a shall to the Hawaiian practitioners to have a lot of influence over what is the choices by the Department of Land and Natural Resources. It seems like a small step in a right direction. How did you feel about that? I mean, do you see any positives in that direction?
You know, I feel like you said, it's always a carrot put out there. When I went to the Ahumoku meeting in Lihue, when she was the director or the...
Lei Mana?
Yeah, and when it came out of her mouth that she said, well, you guys have to work closely with your planning department of your county. I'm like, oh, my God. If that's what the Ahumoku is counting on, is working with the planning department, this isn't going nowhere. It's going to go nowhere. Yeah, it's nice for them. Again, the Native Hawaiian community and the Hawaiians have been put in a position of advisories. They ask us, but that doesn't mean they have to listen. Look at the burial council. They'll ask us what we should do. We tell them. They do whatever they want. It's always, we'll ask the Hawaiians, but they're not going to follow through with what we want.
Well, I think that you're bringing up something really important when you're talking about the burial council and what happens with many commissions, because even recently, as I've been going to planning commissions, open space commissions, cost control commissions, and in any of those cases, it's advisory. So mm-hmm. very often, anybody on those commissions feels extremely frustrated that they don't have true influence. And in the burial council's case, they only have two choices. They have build over the bones or move the bones.
Exactly.
They don't have the option of
denying
the permit.
Right,
and so they're sort of in a really rough position. And in fact, like the Kauai burial council sort of fell apart over it, and they couldn't even hold a quorum. They couldn't have people show up because it was too frustrating. So they can be disempowered deeper than what. And so I think with the burial commission, why when you go there you don't get any positive responses, because option C, which is don't build and respect the land or the culture, is not an option available to them.
And seeing people who don't know the really in depth of the issue will say, oh, well, but Hawaiians, you have an opportunity to participate in this process to decide what's going to happen to your bones. Why not take the opportunity to be on the commission? But they have to understand, it's basically like you said, it's a dead duck.
Well, it comes back down to what often happens, you know, when I see these things, it's fake state is why.
And see, to me, it all goes back to sovereignty. Just like the Japanese, the Samoan brothers, and I was with Konishi and his great brother, Junior Tisanoi. We would party in Anakuli. Hey, they were tearing the Japanese up. What did the Japanese do? No foreigners in sumo anymore. Okay? Now, no one can say that's racist. No one can say that's unconstitutional. The Japanese people in Japan said, no more foreigners in sumo. That's it. If Hawaiians had our sovereignty, we could have a law that said, you find bones, you don't build. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
It's not racist. You don't have an appeal. That's our law in Hawaii.
It's just the culturally appropriate thing to do.
Exactly. You don't dig up our kupuna, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. don't have that power because we don't have our sovereignty.
There we go. Yeah, go ahead, Felicia.
Well, I'm speaking a little bit from a different angle. Mm-hmm. I have complete respect for the challenges that are faced, and I honor that. Mm-hmm. It is an occupation, right? I mm-hmm. honor that. Mm-hmm. But there's a dual reality, right? We have to sit there and go, well, all right, what is the existing government as well? And I have been to a number of meetings just in the recent past, and what I did see, just to kind of give you a little bit of encouragement there, I was at the Kauai Board of Realtors meeting, and planning was there and some discussion was coming up about having to work with SHPD and do EISs when people are wanting
SHPD
to...
SHPD being the State Historical Preservation...
What's the D? State Historical Preservation...
District.
District or people or something.
Department.
Department.
There we go. Thanks.
And
just for folks who aren't hip to those alphabetical soup stuff.
Yes, thank you. The acronym. You know, a question was brought up because just for building a house, people have to go and do either like an EIS or an environmental impact statement or an environmental assessment. And the planner said, you know, yep, if you're building in sand, you got to think about that. If you're going to dig, which is basically any foundation, so that's about another $30,000 to $100,000 usually in there. And so I heard a pretty big sigh across the room. That there's some progress that you folks are making with caring about the bones.
KBR is a whole different story for me. I had to file an appeal with them when a developer came after me, made some false statements, and even in their bylaws, when I went to the state, at some point, only their member could appeal further. As a private citizen, mm-hmm. my right to appeal their decision.
Yeah, you didn't have rights there.
Yeah, I didn't have any rights. Right. So my take on KBR is a whole big difference, too. And then with planning, you know, in where I live in White Pocket, they haven't enforced anything. You know, there's supposed to be an agricultural subdivision. There's not too many people doing agriculture up there. You know, and even my friend, Howley Guy from Texas, he was in here in the 90s. He wanted to do aquaculture.
Mm-hmm.
They literally told him when he went, and he came to me, he goes, I thought this was the agriculture. They told me I couldn't do aquaculture because the huts would block the scenic view of the ocean. He goes, I thought agriculture was a concern.
not the viewpoint.
Yeah.
There we go. We have a phone caller, and want to take that call, and then talk a little bit, Cousin Randy, about your testimony, get one more kind of YouTube soundbite for the Department of Interior's question. Caller, are you still there?
Yes.
Thank you so much for holding on. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, one of the comments is at one time I was on the Kauai Niihau Burial Council.
Yep. Thank you for serving.
And exactly what the speaker said, where, you know, if we're supposed to be the elders, the tupuna, to know what has happened in the past and who was buried there, that goes out on the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you tell them your inner thoughts, because being on the burial council, it's an honor.
Sure.
And you got to respect where these people were, and they don't like to be dug up. And if you have an inadvertent burial, it's like you said, you either got to move the bones or bury over.
Right.
But at no time... The State Historic Preservation Division takes into account that why have people on the burial council is kind of playing lip service, because you're going to do what you want to do,
right.
Not what the elders want to do,
mm-hmm.
or what is right for the person who was buried there,
right,
you know,
right.
That not thinking that he's going to get under 100 years later. A good point was in Koloa, they had the old Koloa camp, and they had a whole big opa-pa about kicking those people out.
Sure.
Okay, so now they went and cut all those trees down, and they have a right because they have a grubbing permit.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at no time when they started moving all the trees and pulling the stumps out, there's all the burials, be they Hawaiian burials or Japanese. It was formerly right. a Japanese camp. And they have all these burials in here. It's all coming up, but Pro Farm, they're not going to do anything about it. They just... Hey, they got the okay from the grubbing permit from public works.
Right, it's a legal activity. They're authorized to do that. They got the paperwork that proves it.
Yeah, but you know, you and I know the paperwork is only the paperwork.
Right.
What about those bones they got on there? You know, so that was my comment.
And mm-hmm.
I like that show. You guys are doing the right thing.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you, Uncle, for serving on the burial council and the other work you do in our community.
Let's see. Can I make one more comment?
Oh, absolutely. The phone line is open for you.
You know this thing. I didn't go to those two meetings that the DOI had for listening to the Hawaiian community, but of all the islands so far, Hawaii was the most respectful. It wasn't like Honolulu getting out of control. They have to go to Maui and Hawaii and Molokai. But the comment I made is that I was thinking is that you have all this and all our kupunas. In fact, my two great-grandmothers, they signed it. One was 12 years old, one was 14 years old, the Kuʻe petition. And they said no all those years ago. And in that Kuʻe petition, a lot of people don't know when that whole thing was done by first the men, the Kala'aina, and then the women that had their own league. What happened is they went around the island and they started taking Joseph Nava'i and his wife, started taking all these names of people and explained to them that these Kuʻe petitions, you don't want to be associated with the U.S. But in the end, the U.S. unilaterally just said, okay, we're gonna take it anyway. So my point is, in that Kuʻe petition, it says the people, when the Hawaiian Nation comes back, it should be, the leaders should be coming out of the order of Kamehameha. That means all what Prince Kuhio had in mind was that Kamehameha, the order of Kamehameha went underground in every island after the overthrow. And then in that, it said that these would be the responders or the recipients of this new nation when it emerges. But also it said that a lot of people don't know is that when Kalakaua went around the Pacific and then he went to Japan, he went to see the emperor, the Meiji dynasty, and the Meiji emperor was the only non-Hawaiian admitted into the order of Kamehameha. And that's still on as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was when the sugar barons and all the people that came to make sugar, they said, oh, and the missionaries, oh, we can't have alliance between Hawaii and Japan. So that's when this whole thing started unraveling. But one thing is, you know, you got all these Hawaiians that are kind of pissed off. And they have every right to be pissed off.
Right.
But, yeah, should collectively try to figure out, past the emotion, how best, you know, okay, we know a wrong was done all these years ago. But now, how do you go forward to make this unright, you know, to make this unjust, and to make it right? And still there's no, this is one way, I don't know if that's the right way, the Department of Interior going around for, because all they're going to do is to go to every island, and they're going to get negative impact and negative input, and there's going to be some positive, but I don't know, maybe they've already made up their mind. This is just, you know, a smoke and mirrors.
Right, right, right. Just the process that they have to go through to satisfy the fact that they have to go through a process.
Right.
I understand that skepticism, and yet I was a little optimistic, you know, when I saw, you know, all the postings and the consistent message of a'ole, you know, the five questions, I got it for you. A'ole, 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 times two.
You
know, and just
what
the
part of no don't you understand?
Exactly.
Right?
And we know that our government doesn't get it, but at the same time, because of the people and because of the, I think Uncle Walter of Molokai had said that was, you know, thank you for sticking the stick in the hive and smacking that hive, because now you got a bunch of Kanakas kind of thinking about this. The buzz is around the island thinking, okay, what is the best process? What's it going to be? What's it going to take for us? And that's why I opened up with Auntie Nani with her unity in community and just coming from that place of aloha that I think is really going to be the strategic move for us all moving forward. I have hope. I truly believe that there's enough honest Americans out there, as Kailani requests us to do, that are going to stand with you who seek justice. That we're going to stand with
exactly.
You that have a relationship with our county council, our governor, our U.S. representative, and say, hey, you know what? The wrong was wrong, and let's make it right.
Yeah. I think also in the future, maybe not in my generation, and maybe not in even my son's generation, but there's going to be some young, smart, articulate young people that are going to step forward and they say, hey, you know what? This, like you just said, you got to undo all this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long, It's going to be a painful process, but you have to do that.
Have to do it.
And I'm sorry I took most of your time.
I'm thankful
that I got to speak.
We're thankful and grateful you called in. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Aloha.
Yeah, and you know, this is our community radio. This is one of the biggest issues I think our community has to deal with. You know, it trumps local politics. I think trumps our GMO pesticide debate. It is the one that continues to be unsettled, and because of the foundations of our government built upon these, you know, liberty, freedom, justice, democracy, if we can't get this right, I don't want to go there.
And this is the federal government coming down, so mm-hmm. this is a big issue. But if you notice, today I read the Paper Star Bulletin from yesterday's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Kauai's meeting was on the third page, buried. Garden Island, Waimea, was buried, third page.
Right.
The headline was, Kaloa Rum wants to build a newer facility. That was front page. The Hawaiians, with the federal government coming down here asking what they want, was on the third page in a small article by the Associated Press.
Right. Ranks right a little bit above the World Cup soccer.
Exactly.
Right. And I asked you, Cousin Randy, to join us because, one, I saw you there. I appreciated your testimony. Share with listeners that weren't there what you shared with the panelists, those five individuals, was it?
Yeah. You only had 2 minutes, so I had what could I say in 2 minutes? And basically I told them my name, where I was from, Waipake, my family, David Ka'ulukala from Waipake, and that they signed the petition, Kauai petition in 1897, and by 1906, the majority of their lands were taken away in Waipake. And I'm being sued, and this is, I'm being sued right now for the last piece of property my family has in Waipake, where I live, and if I lose that, there are no Hawaiians in Waipake, and my family has been wiped out
mm-hmm.
from Waipake.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, based on that and my research of Hawaiian history, it is foolish for any Hawaiian to support any further actions by the United States of America or a department thereof, supposedly for our benefit. And then I told him that the Kauai petition must be adhered to. And I quoted the Kauai petition, and basically states that the Native Hawaiians and those in sympathy and residents do hereby protest any effort by the Senate and President of the United States during their December 1897 meeting, any form or any shape of the Hawaiian Islands being annexed to the United States. And I ended with that Hawaii, the Hawaiian people, the country and nation of Hawaii should be free and independent, and that I stand proudly with those who speak the truth for my people and who will accept nothing less. That was my testimony.
There we go. Well, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for joining us here on
Mahalo.
Out of the Box. I just like I said, pulled you in as you were grabbing CDs, doing a little research, and apologize, Felicia, for getting a little bit off the county council subject. We have one caller, somebody waiting for a question. Let me get that person up. Aloha, caller, you are on the air live.
Thanks so much for this important topic.
Sure.
My main impression is one really cannot trust the federal government, especially with the great leader, Mr. Hope, Mr. Change. If this gentleman, who is our great leader, is prosecuting people more so than any other great president of the U.S., people who are whistleblowers, in other words, someone who is telling the truth, can we really trust this type of leader? Of course we can't. So I think we should just cut to the chase. The only thing that they respect is, you know, bodies on the ground, boots on the ground. If you get in the way of their money-making operation or their military, so it's going to take basically all this talk, all these legal actions. No, I don't really think that's going to work. It's going to have to be a direct action, a general strike. In other words, the kind of action that stopped the super ferry. I mean, I hear you talk about all these things, and I see all these court actions and all these proceedings, and I really don't think this is going to work. The only thing that's going to work is people willing to go to jail. Not just a few people. I mean, I'm talking about If it takes tens of thousands, that's what it's going to take. And that's just my humble opinion.
Well, I appreciate your sharing your opinion with us. You know, I think you're right. It's going to take action. That is for sure. And appreciate you sharing your opinion.
I mean, for example, if they, you know, when the World War II, when Japanese attacked America, they took the land, the civil rights, everything away from legal citizens. So if the U.S. government can do that kind of action, what do you think? How do you think they're going to treat, you know, how they messed over with the Hawaiians or the American Indians? I mean, just look at the track record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Try again.
Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box. It's about 4:45. We've got about 1 hour and 15 minutes of more talk for you. Phone lines are open, and I apologize for dropping a couple callers just right there before the song started. Lico Martin, that was a version done by John Torres, I believe, or at least that's who posted it on Facebook. One of the pressing issues for us here in the island state of Hawaii, what are we going to do with our occupied nation? And as occupiers and settlers, what is our kuleana if we would like to see justice happen? We're going to shift gears here. We've got an announcement coming up about a candidate forum that's next week. So
the Kauai Chamber of Commerce, in partnership with the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce, announces a Kauai County Political Forum on Wednesday, July 9th at the Kauai Memorial Convention Center Exhibition Hall from 6 to 9:15 p.m. The free forum is open to the public and will include candidates for Mayor, House of Representatives District 15 from Oamau to Wailua Homesteads, and Kauai County Council candidates. That's Wednesday, July 9th, from 6 to 9:15. KKCR will be broadcasting this forum live.
Right on. And Mahalos, if you didn't catch the candidate forum between the U.S. Senate candidates, Brian Schatz and Colleen Hanabusa, you can go to the KKCR website, go to the archive, click on the tab that says, I should pull it up and I'll get the words right, but you'll see it. It'll say candidate forum. And mahalos to Dove being here at the fort holding it down, and for Jonathan Jay bringing the audio remote equipment, and also for the chamber for hosting that. So we've got some candidate forums coming up. Next week is the first candidate forum, so we're kind of excited about that for folks who want to get their word out, their message out as candidates, as well as us, the voters, our community, wanting more information about our candidates. And in the booth, we have a KKCR volunteer, as well as a Kilauea resident and Super Wahine warrior, Super Mom, doing a number of good things in our community for our benefit. Felicia Cowden, thank you for taking some time out of your busy campaign schedule. And I know you've been attending meetings left and right. That's why I was glad to bring in Cousin Randy. I saw him at the last meeting I went to. You were there as well. What was the last meeting you went to, Felicia?
The last meeting I went to, what day is it today? I've been going
Thursday,
so
yeah.
Many. I went to, actually, the last meeting I went to was... the Latter-day Saints Church last night, they did a really good emergency preparedness program. And, you know, that's actually an issue right after my own heart. One of the things that I like to say on the show that I usually do is, we'll be fine if they cut the line. When we look at any issue, whether it is nationhood, sovereignty, I even look at individual sovereignty, I think the way that Kauai stays strong for all the population, regardless of race and regardless of political positioning, is if we become more resilient. And so, you know, we need to really look at how we work at taking care of ourselves, like how we create food, how we take wisdom from the Ahupua'a system and the ways of the Hawaiians and the water management. I've been going to the water meetings. Yesterday I was at the county council meeting all day. I've been going out and doing some regular politicking, I suppose, but mostly the way that is framed up for me is just hearing from everybody as much as I can from all sides of the positioning. And certainly the Hawaiian position is so close to my heart because I do recognize that this is our host culture that has held the wisdom of this island for more than 1,000 years of how to live resiliently. And when we look at all the issues around the country and the world, really any place on this planet, we need that same resilience. As we have globalized commerce and globalized pollution and globalized all of this, really the earth is an island, and we need to be taking the same kind of care for every element of it. And I think that we can take the best of what has been, some of the best of what's now, and then move towards the future. And I know in my own life, I've spent about 10 years basically working as a volunteer. For 18 years, I had a small business, Hanalei Surf Company, where I dealt with surf and skate. And my paradigm that shifted after I was bought out of the business. So I had a little bit of money, was able to invest, and so I consider myself wealthy at a very low level. And by living on about a fifth of what I lived on before, I still am able to go and work in all these different volunteer opportunities like KKCR or at WIPA or with Regenerations. And I have surrounded myself with people who are really very giving. And happiness doesn't come necessarily with what we can buy, what we can consume, and how much money we have. Certainly the conveniences that are there are valuable, but there are many ways that we can have a really good life without needing so much. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the whole planet, there is environmental devastation that's coming. There's a lot of changes that are coming, whether they're man-made or otherwise. However we want to look at the shifts that are happening on the planet, they're happening. And certainly the economic shifts. So as I've been going around and listening to the budget meetings and the water meeting, and I will tell you that all over this island, there's a lot of really good people. And so just as within the Kanaka community needing to unite, we all need to unite. And I think that we can unite. And some of the things that we need to understand is we need to take care of ourselves. When I listen to each one of these budgets, we don't have the money that we need. And so we need to need less. And when we look at what has happened 100 years ago, 50 years ago, this place was able to survive and thrive with more in a natural environment, more growing our own plants, creating our own food. And even like you brought up, Randy, the cocoa palms, I listened to that last week on at the county council meetings. I've been going to all the county council meetings, and I consider it training. I mean, I've gone for a long time, but I'm sort of surprised who all's not in there. I would think all the candidates would be in there. So,
oh, I'm sure you are one of the few that attend the highest percentage. I mean, there are some candidates that haven't gone to any, right?
Well, yeah. Like, and I'm not putting my colleagues down, but I'm just, it's curious to me how we each ramp up for doing whatever we're going to do. Before I opened the school, I substitute taught 3 to 5 days a week for a whole year before I go. And so I like to make sure that, like, if I hit the ground, I'm going to hit the ground running. And what I see is many people trying to do a very good job, whether it's the water. The Kauai Board of Realtors meeting, by the way, was very informative. It was, we had a really good financial analysis done by Paul Brubaker. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Director of Planning, Public Works, and Finance that were there, and we had a really good forum afterwards. And I think what we have, caring and competent people, but what happens is we get pixelated and we look at small issues. Even yesterday when we're looking at feral cats and park lights and these different things,
this is the Board of Realtors.
No, this was at the county council meeting. I mean, I've been in so many different meetings. They're not blurring together, but I'm hearing the same voice.
Sure, there's some consistency there.
There's consistency, and everybody's kind of trying to look after their own kuleana.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to look at it really holistically. And I'm looking at Randy, like when we've been talking about Hawaiian issues, so many pieces of what our rules are. Basically, each time we have a new ordinance to solve a problem, we have another rule that we have to comply with.
Right.
And so we get all these rules, and so if you think about what you don't like from your next-door neighbor, whether they have a barking dog or that you don't want them to have a cat or whatever impact people might have, is we put taxation on our behavior, it creates this cycle of poverty that I don't think anybody who's trying to, say, save a baby bird is intending. I think a lot of damage happens collectively when every one of us thinks about what we need. And we have to think about what we all need. And we really need to look broadly and see how can we voluntarily do the right thing? How can we voluntarily share and give? And, you know, taking a step back is important. I see that we have a caller on the air. We can take it, and then I can come back. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello. no disrespect to anybody, but I was just commenting on the part about other candidates not being in the chamber, the council chamber, and learning and stuff, and how you're not putting them down. Well, yeah, you kind of are, because you know what? It comes on TV. Maybe they're more comfortable, or they don't have the time to get there to those meetings. And so maybe they do it in the comfort of their home and try and understand in their own time and way, you know. So that's one thing.
Okay, thank you for that correction, and you're absolutely right.
And another thing I want to say, Felicia, I would really hope for you, but we don't need another Joanne. You know, it's black or white to me, what's right, what's wrong, and everybody will get along. But it has to be straight cut from now on in there, because, you know, just like the 2491 got watered down at the last minute, got voted through. It was a watered-down bill, you know, just like the vacation rentals. We worked so hard for that. And then Auntie Joanne watered it down to make it fair for everybody. And everybody got grandfathered in who should not have had vacation rentals outside the VDA because they were running it illegal. And a lot of them jumped on for $10,000, paid the lawyers, and got their TVR, and they weren't even legal to begin with.
So you're bringing up really excellent points.
Yes, I'm saying we need black and white. We don't need no gray areas, and it's either one way, you know.
Okay, so work with me here. Can you work with me here? Sure. Let me know where your black and whites are, because I have seen that there is a strident demand for black and white as I go around.
Well, you know, inside your heart. And you're not out.
Yeah, but it's there for me. I'm trying to hear from you.
You're out there for the people, so that's where you're going to pull your energy from, you know? And Kea Kua will guide you.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel it. Uh-huh.
You know, and you're talking about Hawaiian. Well, that's Hawaiian, okay? And, you know, the Hawaiian people are so sad right now. They have lost their pride that, you know, with this new venue that they're having with the people coming over to listen to everybody. You know, Kea will put me in the right spots because I'm not where the meetings are because, you know, we're all sovereign. And another thing is if you were born before 1959, you were born in the territory of Hawaii, and if you're a minor born before 1959, more so, you're still a citizen of the territory of Hawaii. Because right now, as it stands, the federal government doesn't even recognize me as an American citizen. Right now, I have to prove that I'm an American citizen by proving my place of birth. Oh, you know, they gave me a Social Security card all my life. I have all my paperwork. And then now I want to change my name. And, you know, they need to have me prove where I'm born. Well, guess what? I never went back. I went back twice to try and work with them, and they wouldn't accept. So, you know what? I'm not going back over there because I am a true Hawaiian citizen. And if every Hawaiian just stood up and said on one day, wrote their letter and said, I am sovereign, we are born sovereign. Just open your mouth and speak it. How many thousands of Hawaiians do we have left? You know, if everybody's focused, that's a nation. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know,
I'm listening.
I don't think we need all these different groups to be the king. They're all got self-greed and self-power.
So, caller?
I want these people to be my chief, my king.
Caller?
Hello?
Caller?
You know?
Caller?
Yes.
You were, you know, giving me some strong admonition, and I really feel that I am not somebody who's going to compromise on issues of importance. But what I want to find out from you is your black and white issue. What's your main black and white issue? Is it sovereignty? Is your main black and white issue that you feel that I have just said I am going to back down on? I want to know which black and white issue you felt you heard me say.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying, if you're going to run and you're going to be in the office, please think black and white. We don't need another Joanne. That's all I was saying. I didn't say you said something and
okay. Because I'm trying to say people would expect me to be looking at things holistically. That, like, when there is an issue, how does it affect everything? Because sometimes when we look very narrowly at one issue,
affect everything.
We have an unintended consequence when there's a very well-intended law that gets passed. Sometimes it really hurts somebody down the road that's not being considered. So that's what I was trying to say.
You know what? Everybody's going to get hurt one way or another. You can't please every person. So all I'm saying is use your now. And don't get caught up into wishy-washy, watering down things. And be strong in what you believe in. It's right for the land, the island, the people, the ocean. That's all I'm saying, Felicia, because you are a hard worker and you understand a lot of things, you know. And you understand the legal part, the pala-pala part that a lot of us Hawaiians don't. You know, and you do come to the community and you do kind of explain your side of it, of how you see what it is, so we can understand it in the layman's terms. You know, I'm not putting you down and I'm not saying you said anything. I'm just saying that it's good that we got people coming in there. Maybe somebody else chooses to do their way of learning about the county council and how it runs. Not the same as yours, just because they're not in the chamber. And when you guys go in there, the new people, keep it black and white. No gray areas. It's got to be strong. Yes or no. You like sides, you don't like sides. And I'm talking CIDE. Okay?
Thank you.
I appreciate the call, and thank you.
Mahalo.
Mahalo for calling Kauai Community Radio. I got to go to the top of the hour because it's a little past.
Aloha, this is Dennis Kamakahi, and you are tuned into KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa.
Hi, this is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We are Kauai Community Radio.
There we go, and I'm going to run my underwriters because it's that time of the day as well. It's a little after 5 o'clock. We got about 50 minutes before the acoustic luau is going to be pumping through your community radio. But before we go there, just want to let the folks know at Aya's Garden and Hawaii Life and Island Meadows, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio and this out of the box program.
Aya's Garden, all natural garden and greenhouse supply in Kapa'a down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Island Metals, Kauai's one-stop shop for all things metal roofing and siding. Manufacturing custom orders to your exact specifications in just 1 to 2 days, right here on Kauai. Contractors and homeowners welcome. More information at 246-4600, online at islandmetals.com, or at our shop in Honolulu. At All Island Metals, we have you covered.
Right on. So, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. The Commodore's in the house getting ready for his late evening show, a couple of slots away. You're going to have to sit through the Mystery Train and the Acoustic Luau before we go there. Also, before we go there,
the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
There we go. Top of the hour stuff is done. We got a little bit of call-in, a little bit of opinion, a little bit of mana'o sharing from the pu'uwai of it all. Felicia Cowden is glad to be back in the booth.
Yes,
welcome.
I am. And I believe that there is a loose donkey at the end of Kolo Road. Does it say there which side of Kolo Road?
The Kilauea side.
The Kilauea side of, well, it's in Kilauea. So if you know, if this is your donkey, call Jim Quinn. It's 652-0011. Loose donkey in Kilauea, call Jim Quinn. 652-0011.
There we go. So, Felicia, what have you missed about not being here every Tuesday talking to community members and hearing this and that?
You know, I really love hearing the discourse and the discussion that comes up. Actually, being out and campaigning in many ways has felt like very similar in terms of talking to people, and I've been having a lot of fun trying to meet the different parts of the island that and the communities in the island that I don't know as well, and meeting people and hear what they say. And something that's important to me is, regardless of the outcome of the election, I can come back on the air. So if I'm in office, I can still do a show. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important to be able to have these public dialogues where people hear it. And one thing, the last caller talked about a black and white issue. And I usually am somebody who's pretty inclusive and wants to hear everybody's positions in a respectful manner.
Right.
And I don't mean to be disrespecting one side by having an inclusive, respectful...
Or trying to find the middle ground.
Well, even just trying to really make sure everybody's heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally speaking what I'm trying to do, is to make sure everybody is heard. But where I have found something black and white that has really surprised me how black and white it is,
mm-hmm.
is on the biotech issue. And as I have been going and speaking with people on the west side and the south side, and really honestly expecting to take a little bit of a beating for having not been black and white, you know, for as I've discovered more and more about that issue, looking at, hey, you know, we need to come up with a better path of how we manage our agriculture.
So do you see yourself as not being black and white, or now you see yourself
well,
black and white?
I think, I mean, what I've found when I'm asking people, you know, just talking to people, one of the very first questions that they're asking, particularly on the south and mm-hmm. west side, is what is my opinion and my position on the GMO?
Mm-hmm.
And when I start to say what it truly is that these companies, they have the capacity to really... make some adaptation, they could be hero. They could make adaptation and start creating really nutritious food. There's a lot of different ways where there actually is potential for them to make an adaptation. If they did make an adaptation, we would have profound positive change in the world.
And you'd be supportive of that.
Well, yeah, I'd be supportive of that. What I have, I think most of these people who are working in the industry, they truly believe that they're not hurting their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very painful for them to be told that they are.
Right, to be accused of poisoning
the place
of their birthright.
But when I find that I'm in Hanapepe or Waimea or Kekaha and I am, you know, speaking respectfully to both sides of the issue, I get stopped just like the last caller did, and they say, up or down? Are you supportive or you're not supportive? So pushed into a corner, I would have to say, well, I don't support it. And then the next response is, all right, keep talking. But before anything else, before anything else, that there is a shocking amount, like door to door to door, not houses, but business to business and different elements, I am seeing an overwhelming perspective that feels as strongly as the last caller in not wanting to hear me be anything but very clear, very strong,
that was her point, is don't be another Joanne. She took issue. I didn't ask her about what are her specific issues with Joanne.
Joanne, sure. And I have very different temperaments, and people who know me well know that even though I'm kind of gentle on the surface, I won't budge. I won't budge against what does feel right. And so,
is that the Sicilian in you?
That's the Sicilian in me. So I got a little Sicilian in there. And I am going to listen, and I'm going to listen respectfully, and I'm going to make sure that I get my information.
Mm-hmm.
And even like getting called out about, like, some people are watching things on TV. Well, I am not just going to the county council meetings. I am going to, like I would say 90% of what I'm going to is not on Hoike. It's not being published. And let me give a shout out right now to Hoike. That's great that we have these things televised. And if there was more of it, it's really good because it needs to be an open dialogue. So, you know, I'm listening in a lot of places, and I will always try and find the facts. And then to work with them, it doesn't mean that I know best, but I work hard to listen to both sides of the argument and then move on a Pono path. And so what I'm seeing as I'm going around is I'm sort of stunned the depth of the people in the areas that I did not realize feel so strongly, and I have to go, well, they're the ones that are really impacted.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having jobs is important. So we're looking at, well, where do we get them from and what's up? And so, like, the Cocoa Palms element came up, and I went to the presentation on that, and it was an almost empty room. And, you know, I really wanted...
That was in front of the planning, or was that in front of the council?
That was actually in front of the county council, mm-hmm. And so they were talking about having a nonprofit organization run the Hawaiian cultural elements of mm-hmm. it and have a Hawaiian cultural park, and that the Hyatt, there it's like a Hyatt Light. It's going to be, you know, if it gets permitted, it would be called Cocoa Palms at the Hyatt, as opposed to being Hyatt Cocoa Palms. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big difference, I guess, in the structure
branding,
of that, in
sure.
the branding. But what was very interesting to me, because I wonder, how do they fund all these things? It's like we have to be careful of how much money is spent, where is it coming from? So in that case, the money's coming from something. I learned a new thing. It's called EB-5 grants, or EB-5 funding. EB-5, I don't even know what it stands for, but it's foreign money, and it's coming from China. And that is economic development monies. And so they have to produce so many jobs. So the construction element, 1,150 jobs. I would certainly hope that somewhere in the fine print there is all how many of those 1,150 need to be sourced in our existing community, not brought in. And then, so it's coming from big organizations where most of the workers come from somewhere else. And then they were estimating about 560 long-term jobs in there. But still, I wonder, well, what happens if you default on that $125 million? You know, that's the thing that I'm looking for every single place that we're getting money. Because everywhere is not able to foot the bill, whether it is our infrastructure monies. I learned a whole new thing, Build America Bonds, which came out of the stimulus packet from the Obama administration. Where these monies are coming from, here's another interesting story. I know I'm jumping around, but it's in the learning process. And so I'm hoping that the listener goes through the learning process also, that we find this, is that the Department of Water raised the rates of the water to be able to fund all these things that are breaking down. And there's a number of things that need repair. And so they raised the rates thinking they would bring in more revenue. But, maybe it's a mixed blessing. People started conserving water. So they raised the rates, but they got 87% of the revenue that they had planned on getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so just about every meeting, every place that I've been going, everybody's feeling the squeeze.
Right.
And this is a pretty much a global problem, except for that 0.01% who seems to be...
Money doesn't matter.
Well, doesn't matter. And there's a very extractive economy that is going to a very small group of people. Mm-hmm. And so the big question becomes to me, how do we build small business? How do we support, you know, stronger, healthy agriculture? How do we provide our own food? How do we create what is termed vertical industry, meaning if, for example, we were growing cacao, make the chocolate and sell the chocolate. Or there's a new product, a new crop that a guy named Joe Hart has been showing to me. It's called kanaf. And so a lot of people are looking at that, and that's one that has multiple benefits. It's pretty much like industrial hemp, except it's in the hibiscus family. It's legal in all 50 states. So, like, looking with Kauai Invasive Species Council, making sure that, like, if there was an experiment with a crop like that, that it wouldn't go off, that it wouldn't become a problem. But the potential on a crop like that, that needs very little water, needs very little weed control, that can provide a lot of product that would be utilized here.
What are some of the products that Knauf...
Knauf does things like, certainly different oils can be, as an end use of it, you know, farther down the line, burned. Like, we have our biofuels piece. It has a really high BTU rate, really burns really hot, but making things like drywall, plastics, building materials, things like that that could potentially be built here, for here, does great erosion control materials, ropes, papers. It's not as gentle as industrial hemp where you can make clothes and things like that. It's not that soft.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives off a lot of oxygen without having it actually being utilized yet. You know, and we'd have to be careful how we would experiment with it. It looks like there's probably 10 different sectors that it could help. And high protein leaves, so that it would be good for, good for livestock.
Mm-hmm.
and finishing off livestock. That's been an issue with the dairy.
Right. How do you bring in some alfalfa from the mainland?
So this is something that could be grown here. It's got a short growing cycle,
mm-hmm.
so it can be rotated around.
Or it's large industrial scale.
It could be large industrial scale. It could be something that would rotate on fields that maybe have higher impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And pull those impacts out. So it's working on that. Another thing that we've got going that I'm pretty excited about, we meaning basically the Kauai Farmers Union, is a bioremediation class and experiment where we have a place picked out in Kekaha, Puhi, and Moloa. And so that we can be looking at how do we use, you know, mycelium, microbes, and these extractive plants.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hector Valenzuela is willing to do something like experimenting with hemp and to be training people. This class is coming up this month. If you look on the Hawaii Farmers Union website, I believe I should have that right with me, and I don't. Like July 12th and 13th, it's coming up very soon. Ray Maki is the one who is starting that class, but we're going to have tests. And so Dave Giroux, who's another out-of-the-box person, but his straight job is very serious at looking at chemical contamination.
Right.
And so he's a part of it, and where we would be doing these tests before and after and along the way. So
is that through a Office of Economic Development grant to look at these issues?
That's correct. It's mm-hmm. Office of Economic Development grant, and there's another grant that has been applied for in the tipping fees in Kekaha. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that one will come through, and that would help fund the location over there. But
again, trying to look at what are some of the solutions to these outstanding problems that we're coming up against, these unintended consequences of whether it's having a landfill for too long or certain types of agricultural practices that left, a legacy of contaminated soils.
So how do we outcreate the problem?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to look at. I like to say, how do we outcreate the problem? It's always been something I've done in many years of civic involvement through the Kauai North Shore Business Council was another element, and the guys on there, I was really lucky when I was the president of that. I had these big companies that had their people in, and they would say, you run this more like a nonprofit than a special interest, but if we make our community healthy, it makes all of us healthy. And so there's a lot of really positive elements like that. Another project that I'm involved with, two other ones, we have the Kilauea Ag Park that we just received from the county to
mm-hmm.
the Kilauea Neighborhood Association. And yes, it's a learning curve. And do we know all the answers? No. But it's wonderful to be in it together, figuring out how to grow more food for our community availing possibilities for people who maybe can't afford land and can't afford these different possibilities. So,
well, and it also provides an alternative model for agricultural development, for economic development that currently is not in play. We don't have a lot of programs that are going to do this. What's being kind of figured out in Kilauea through the work of, you know, active community members, Malama Kauai, the county, and other stakeholders.
But we can start, right?
Absolutely.
And the thing is it's all been done in the past. It's not like this is new.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been working with Talia Abrams. She had a bill in last year,
kind of mentoring with her for
edible landscaping in public places, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing that in Kilauea Park here.
Nice.
And I think that can be a nice template. And what I have found is that, you know, both people who are running for the mayor's office are really supportive of moving forward in directions like that. All four of them are. Yes,
sure.
All four of them are. And so having gone to even the mayor's sustainability briefing update, there were many, many good things that were shown there. You know, there's a lot of good heart intention. There's a lot of ways that positive ideas are coming out. And, again, we have to look at how do we pay for it? What happens if we default on that loan? I mean, I'm looking at both pieces of that because when I add up the numbers just on some of the things between power, water, trash, roads, you know, private sector, public sector, it doesn't matter. We're all, the residents of this island is who pays for it.
Yeah, it comes out of our pocketbook.
It comes out of our pocketbook. So if we have $300 million worth of infrastructure improvements, we got to think, how are we going to pay for $300 million worth of infrastructure improvements, and what if we can't? So how can we do less? And so what I have found in my own process of growing my own food in my own backyard, which when I moved here 30 years ago, and I am a transplant, obviously, but as I moved here 30 years ago, about every third house was choke spilling out with food in these houses. And we need to get back to that because I put out maybe a half a can of garbage every week or every other week, where we had 2 cans of garbage before looking at the crisis that was going on at the Kekaha landfill. And then growing own food. And so much of your food your garbage comes from buying things from the store. And so there are many ways, plus then you're driving less. There's a lot of ways that we could collaborate together. And the stores, like you go, well, what does that mean for the stores? Well, the stores, as we ramp up our ability and capacity to grow the food, well, more of that can go in the stores. And places like Asahi's, who is the food distributor where, you know, most of it comes from the mainland, he laments because this is the third generation that has had the food distributorship, and what they used to do was ship food off island. They didn't bring food to the island. Mm-hmm. They were an export company, and they would be happy to be an export company or perhaps exporting to Oahu, right. and and other islands like that. And it really is an attitude of shifting intention, and I am happy to be a part of building ordinances, but more than that, I have faith in people that as they get the right motivations rather than taxing people into the right behavior, you know, we can have a volunteering into behavior that is good for all of us. I hope so. I mean, I feel like I've just been watching that abound in the communities that
I think we respond better to incentives than we do as far as changing behaviors than we do to punitive or some type of penalty assigned that, you know, we get better results when we, you know, have that carrot in front of us as opposed to getting whacked with the stick.
And something that comes to my mind really clearly is the time right after the hurricane. We had massive devastation. We woke up the next day with very few loss of life. And I'm not, you know, downgrading those two people because I knew both of them that did pass away. It happened to be Kilauea. But beyond that, everybody was so grateful for their survival. And yes, we had assistance from the United States and the other islands, but mostly it didn't matter what race you were, what ethnic economic group you were, everybody pulled together. And it was a really loving experience to see the potential for shift in 6 hours of bad weather. And I think that if we believe the best in each other and we work to build the best in each other, that's what's comfortable for me. And I swear when I go around and I'm looking around the island and I'm listening to everybody trying in whatever way that they're trying, I'm encouraged. I've actually been really stoked. I've been really enjoying it. I've been having fun. I shouldn't say that, but I know it's not supposed to, that's not what campaigning's supposed to feel. But I'm feeling encouraged and empowered and happy that there's a lot of love on this island.
There you go. There is a lot of love, and you are listening to the station that loves you. The voice you've been hearing is Felicia Cowden. She's running for council. She's a familiar voice for a lot of our listeners, the Out of the Box and KKCR. She's decided to take it to another level, her activism and her community organizing and her involvement in Aloha for Kauai. What was it that made you, compelled you to throw your name into the hat?
Well, I was asked by a number of people within government, and, you know, certainly my own peer group, but especially people from the West Side. And so that was a powerful voice. And I have been down and listened to people's stories of where that they were concerned. And it just felt like we're at a really powerful tipping point. And then I'm pretty close to both sides of the issue. And again, at the risk of sounding like somebody who has respect for both sides of these topics, I guess I do. And I don't feel like I'm over-compromising, but I do respect both sides. And I know 3 of the 4 candidates that are running for mayor and have been hearing from 3 of them pretty regularly. And I don't want to see everybody polarized. We need to solve the problems. We need to solve the problems. And I feel like a bridge. And I am a Malihini, or people can call me that. I mean, I definitely, you know, have grown into this culture here in the past 30 years. I moved here when I was 21. It's a very significant part of my life. When I am involved with my students at Akamai Learning, and this past year having that at Waipa, but throughout the whole process of Akamai Learning, my alternative middle school, we focus on learning the wisdom of the Hawaiians and learning the wisdom of the Ahupua'a management system. But at the same time, we've done field trips to all our infrastructure pieces, government, learning all these different parts of pieces, because that's important for leadership. I feel like we need to raise, you know, a generation of transition leaders. We can't stay where we are. We have to move into a position that is more resilient, more self-reliant. Otherwise, I think we're going to really have difficult outcomes. We're going to replace our population. There's a lot of things like that. So I feel that I could be a very good bridge from a whole range of the populations. And, you know, certainly I know business, and certainly know business as a small business person. In the past 10 years, sometimes I jokingly call myself a recovering capitalist, in that, you know, it's not the only way. It's not the only way is to have, you know, an economy that is all based on money. There is,
well, I think, based on money and growth and accumulating more money
and selling product.
Yeah,
you know, or
based on that kind of expansion of whatever it is you produce, whatever it is that you serve.
Right.
Yeah, getting more of that. I want to encourage listeners who have questions for Felicia Cowden running for council. Our phone lines are open, and I'll let Tim handle those calls so I don't drop anybody. 826-7771 is our line here into the booth, or you're welcome to, if you're off island, we'll want to give us a call at 866-275-1112.
And if people wanted to learn more about me or speak with me that don't know me, we have three free. Everything I've done has been parties, three events. I think we have a caller. We'll take the call first.
No,
and
go
then,
ahead. Because
okay. So this Sunday, I mean, a week from Sunday at the Coral Reef Motel, and it's a great place right out there, right on the bike path, right on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful place. Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. in Kapa'a.
Is that the 13th?
The 13th. We're going to have a Sunday afternoon there. Madison is going to be playing music.
Nice. And you're going to be on the ocean side?
On the ocean side. Yeah. There's a pool there.
So people can park right there at the library, take the bridge across, walk over.
Yeah.
No problems with traffic.
Park in that area is great. It's a beautiful spot. And I'm happy to talk story with people. And what I really want to do is hear from people what is the most important thing for them. And then Sweet Marie's in Lihue, that's kind of going to be a business after hours time, 4 to 6, and she's got great food.
And what date is that?
That is July 16th.
Okay.
And then in Kalaheo at Kukui Olono, like golf course up there, beautiful, beautiful area up there. 4 to 6 again.
Oh, for a little sunset action.
For a little sunset action, and then there's two forums coming up that will also be live on KKCR this next
Wednesday,
the 9th of July. The Filipino Chamber of Commerce is having a candidate forum, and then the regular Chamber of Commerce in Waimea is having a candidate forum. 6 to 9 p.m. So,
and we'll be broadcasting that here live, hopefully streaming on our community radio. We have a caller, so we're going to take a caller. Are you there?
I am here.
Well, thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box with Felicia Cowden, council for candidate for council.
Wonderful. And isn't this wonderful that we have such a great community radio station where we can air these programs?
Well, I'd argue not with you.
Well, this is Marge calling. And Felicia, my question is, has there been any discussion or do you have any thoughts about how middle-income people are going to be able to afford to live on Kauai, say, about 5 to 10 years from now? And what is going to happen to the people below middle-income, of which there are many, many here, who cannot afford to even rent a room in a house, much less a separate residence? There's such a disparity going on, and as I think the conditions on mainland USA get worse politically and financially, we're going to see more upper income people moving here. And what I've seen in the past, having lived in California and Washington State, it pushes the middle income and the low income people totally out the door. So what discussion or thoughts do you have about how we can start working on that now?
Well, first of all, I want to absolutely agree with you that is super critical. And it is something that is very much in people's consciousness as we've gone to the different meetings and the different elements of government and at the Board of Realtors, because I speak about them a bunch right now because I just went to their meeting that was pretty strong. And so it's tough. And that's what I was saying a little bit earlier when I'm looking at these penalties and taxation issues. And because when we put in a $50 fine or a $25 fine or a $500 fine here, there, those things cause the middle income to purl. I give a surf analogy there, but you could be riding the wave and you're making it paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, but something happens and you get some fine or you have to go to court or you can't quite collect and you stumble and it's hard to come up. And so I'm very, very conscious of how that this is happening. And I wish I could say, here is a real easy way to make that happen. I think, I'll give you a couple examples though. I have a few ideas on affordable housing and different ways that we might be able to be working on affordable housing so that they come up consistently. Being able to implement and having the idea are two different things, but I think that, like, right now when development comes in, they get basically taxed like a 30% amount that they have to put into affordable housing. And many times that housing doesn't get built for many, many years. And if it were just to go, they still have the choice to give it to the county, but if the county was able to take that and turn that into purchasing at the low end of the market, and so they're the ones that are buying the short sales and buying at the bottom. It basically strengthens the regular real estate market, but it can bring housing that's integrated all over the place, and we don't have to spend the money on planning and public hearings and, you know, all that 6 to 10 years of building a public housing place. They can be simply being bought. That creates somewhat of a win-win for both the real estate market and providing some housing. That's for people who have a certain amount of stability. I would say that would be addressing more the middle class. I think that when we're looking at the people who are struggling on the very edge, we have to look at how we can possibly build semi-permanent encampments. You know, I think that we can't just kick everybody to the curb. It's tough down there where it puts a lot of burden on the parks and people are living like refugees and you know, worrying all the time. And I actually know a number of people that are in that position, and mm-hmm. they're productive people with jobs and kids and have lived here, if not their whole life, a very, very long time of their life. And I don't take that lightly in any way.
Well, it's going to be compounded. Each year it already has been. And I liked your word, encampments. I don't know. I haven't done any research for the rest of the world where this kind of situation has been solved. But I would imagine that there are places where small units are all sort of attached together as, what are they? They're built ahead of time, and then they're brought to a site and then attached either side by side or on top of one another. And I'm almost envisioning containers.
there are things, and there are samples in around the United States where they see that when they do invest in housing for people, that what happens is the cost of investing in semi-permanent housing is offset on the burdens on the hospital, on the police department, on the welfare elements. It brings more people available for the employment pool. It's actually difficult for people to find workers because when people are living in crisis, that they're not able to come to work. But the challenge on the other side is that we don't want to be drawing people fresh to the community so that they can come here and all of a sudden be competitive, that they go, wow, you can go to this really beautiful island where everything is great and you can just rest in this environment. Like, we don't want that. And the other end of the spectrum is if there are exploitative employers who say, well, we don't even have to give a living wage because the taxpayer is basically going to cover the burden. So these things aren't simple, and I know that the people who are already in position, they care about people who are suffering too. So what I can do is add to the dialogue and to be looking at what works well in other places, but we're going to have to find a way to make it work well. And you can't just be one big giant motel here. You know, like if we have everybody that's living here economically independent and it's their third or fifth home, that, you know, that doesn't work. So somehow we have to find that balance.
Here we go. And we're going to take another phone call. Thank you, Marge, for calling in and asking those questions. And also to add, there is a plan that the county is working on in developing these modular
Container Homes, the Kauai Community College and Ho'uluwehi program is developing a little bit of a model, and the county's goal is to have 10 of these small container homes on an ag lot, and they're going to have a central garden area and do agricultural as well as economic training for families and individuals who want to live there, and then try to, again, produce more food, produce some marketable crops, and create an alternative housing situation.
Yeah.
So something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. And there's federal monies available for that.
Exactly. So we have our other caller coming on up. There we go. I guess we lost them, so nothing happened. One more time? No. Didn't come through. Call back if you can, 826-7771. We'll get you right back on up. I want to let you know that in about 20 minutes, a little bit less than that, you're going to be hearing, where is she? Maren. She's walking the halls here at the studio, looking for her acoustic luau material. So keep it locked in. Right at 6 o'clock, she'll be joining us.
Hey, aloha. This is Maren, inviting you to tune in to KKCR on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Acoustic Luau, featuring the best of contemporary singer-songwriters, acoustic blues, rock, gospel, and world beat. It's all about great music, a delectable selection of tasty sound treats. That's Acoustic Luau, Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m., right here on KKCR.
The Kauai Chamber of Commerce, in partnership with the Kauai Filipino Chamber of Commerce, announces a Kauai County Political Forum on Wednesday, July 9th at the Kauai Memorial Convention Center Exhibition Hall from 6 to 9:15 p.m. The free forum is open to the public and will include candidates for Mayor, House of Representatives District 15 from Omau to Wailua Homesteads, and Kauai County Council candidates. That's Wednesday, July 9th from 6 to 9:15. KKCR will be broadcasting this forum live.
That'll be live here next Wednesday night and live in about 20 minutes. Acoustic Luau coming. We've got 15 more minutes of the Out of the Box show. Mahalo's Tim Kalai for answering the phones and trying to bump our callers up the line. And mahalo's to Felicia Cowden running for council. Aloha, caller. You're joining us live on the air.
Hey, guys. So I guess my compliments to Felicia. I always used to think when you had your show that what you provided, I guess, would be a service of a community pressure relief valve. Not necessarily a bitching forum, but something that provides relief to the community in terms of maybe pressure buildup, I guess, is mm-hmm. the way I always thought of it. So how would you translate that kind of description of maybe what you do over the airwaves into more of a political discourse in your county council term?
Well, what I think that has really strengthened for me, where I have really grown in the past 3 years when I've been a community affairs programmer, is I have learned so much from the listener. I've learned so much from how people are out there and speaking and how much expertise that we have, that I would continue to be seeking that out. And that's like even when I said, I made sure before I ran for office that I could still have a show. I might change the forum a little bit. I kind of think I'd call it Power to the People or something. But of where people still have this venue to be bringing things out and to be being heard and to have a dialogue. And what I guess I have really learned in the past 3 years, deeply affirmed, because I believed it before, but is how much solid knowledge is out there from the regular people. Together, you know, is where we really get the best knowledge and the best information. And, you know, an elected official is no better at knowing a solution than the people who are living right in the crux of it. And, you know, I had a poor childhood, and I will just own it. I'm going to always be looking out for the common person. I feel like we have to water our roots. We can't you know, contaminate the soil. I'm using another metaphor from agriculture, but if we, you know, make it really difficult for the roots of our community to thrive, nothing on the top is really going to be healthy.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big piece of it. And really with the last caller's question, you know, the more we are growing our own food, the more healthy we're going to be. And I think that just the need of being fed is a very central need. And if we have food growing everywhere, it's going to make a big difference.
So can I ask you another question
sure.
on that then?
Mm-hmm.
Since you brought that up, you know, that always seems to be a great hot topic. And that's very much my passion too, you know, growing food. It's just something I very much feel rooted to. But how do you, in your county, you know, council term, how do you plan to implement seeing more food be done? Because, you know, as someone who's done a lot of farming through his life, I kind of feel like people talk a lot of talk about stuff. And I know that you do a lot of things already with that, but, you know, like, it's hard for me because I'm always just farming and I don't have a lot of time to talk. So I just wonder how you could maybe help implement that.
Right on. Thank you for those call or those questions, caller. We're going to take another caller.
Okay, should I answer it?
Yeah, please
okay.
Do.
I think that it, you know, the council member is one of seven people, and we all have divergent viewpoints. But I do think that there is a trending towards understanding how important that is. And already, as I was saying earlier, without being an elected official, I'm very involved in promoting these concepts, and I think I will have an easier time to be pushing them further. But many of them need to come at a state level, too. And in planning, we punish the small farmer, and we need to give them the break, not, you know, maybe people who aren't growing food.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. We have another caller.
Okay.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Oh. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, we didn't get that one. I don't know. Call back if you can. 826-7771. We're joined with County Council candidate Felicia Cowden joining us here on Out of the Box. And apologize for the misplay there on the buttons. And Felicia, I appreciate that you have spent as much time as you have before being a candidate. And back to the first caller who made a comment that maybe some of the other candidates don't feel comfortable or aren't either gifted with time to go down to all these meetings. Yet I think exactly that's what we want from our council folks, our folks that are there in our community, that are participating in a variety of different forums, whether it's at the Koloa football jamboree, or it's at the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, or at a planning meeting. I know that when I always went to a meeting, I certainly appreciated when I would see my council member there or my state representative there. I'm thrilled when we get a chance to talk story with our representatives and feel like Kauai offers that accessibility, and you've done an excellent job for that. So mahalo for that.
Thank you. And I do have that benefit, is that I consider myself wealthy at a very low level. I'm fortunate, and I own my home. So I live on not a lot of money, but I'm able to have the freedom to do what's important to me. And so I would have that time to be going around, as I already do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mel Raposo teased me and said, you might as well get paid for what you're already doing. I'm already
right.
out at all these meetings, mm-hmm. and I would continue to be there.
Right. And I think we got another caller coming on up. There we go. We're going to bring this caller up and get the right button. Go ahead. And on, caller, you're there. Aloha, caller.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on Out of the Box. Do you have a question or comment for Felicia Cowden?
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about the Kilauea Ag Park? One of the city council members was the mayor for 3 terms and dropped the ball. We've been waiting for this park for 30 years. Are you going to be behind it to help create it?
Well, it's already in the path. And Kilauea Neighborhood Association is with Malama Kauai is managing it so far. It's going to have its own organization, but it has already been basically placed in the hands of Kilauea Neighborhood Association to be managing this park. So it's done as far as that goes. We're getting funding. I think there's been about $120,000 that's coming at the state level. Some money has come from the county level, a lot less than that, but to start getting it moved and moving forward, Yosh Lote, I'm not saying his name right, Yosh is the main go-to guy to be getting, you know, your name on a list. But if you go to the Kilauea Neighborhood Association blog site, you will see that you can start joining the conversation. And we've got really good plans on community involvement in deciding the design. We have a tentative design. And we've got another really great landowner, the Porters, who are willing to, you know, give us a 10-inch pipe of water coming down there. And we're looking at, you know, the mains that would be able to come in just to get that started. So it's underway. As a council member, I don't have to take action on that. As a part of the Kauai Farmers Union and Regenerations, you know I'm going to be 100% behind it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and, you know, we have other neighbors right along there, too. The Hayes, you know, they are really going to be good neighbors and allow that pipe to come through. We have actually four contiguous landowners up there that come all the way up abutting to it from Mauka coming down, you know, across the highway. Oops, I'm sorry. Who all have... a good intention towards this. So we have benevolent neighbors, the good intention of the government, and a group that is really excited. And those original kupuna now who's got this started, they are 200% behind us. And so come to the committee meeting. We have ag committee meetings, and it'll say it right on that blog site. We had one last Sunday, I think, and I went to that one too. That's another meeting that I went to. There's also the Kauai Farmers Union meeting is, I think, the second Wednesday of every month. I got to double check on that, but if you look up Kauai Farmers Union too. So there's a lot that's going on, and those meetings are in Anahola. Where do you live?
I'm up in Kauai Hau.
Kauai Hau, okay. And then there is, by the way, in Kealia, a land leaser there has 30 acres that he is really willing to share at no cost with water and a tiller. And, you know, there's a lot of coming together. Everybody wants to work together on creating some solutions.
It's, yeah, together we can.
Together we can. There's amazing things. So, like, when we're looking at the negative, that's less comfortable for me than to look at the possibilities. There's a lot of possibilities, and we're working on it. And this, they're calling it, they have another thing, the Kilauea Beautification Project. Like, that needs public input too. And when we, like, I live in Kilauea, you're hearing a lot of Kilauea things, but there's efforts going on in Kekaha, efforts going on in Kapa'a. And so what we're hoping is we can create a template that can work. And there's 1,200 acres at Kalepa that is state land that we would like. That's a big goal, is to be able to have a different form of agriculture that is supporting locally based businesses go into that land there. And that's why when we're looking at different crops, how we could bring that together. Because agriculture has always been a very big part of the economic stability of the island since contact. Well, actually, before contact, that was the central part. Agriculture was the central part of the economy before there was Western contact. So we gotta get back to
back to the roots. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a central thing. And you can learn more about me at FeliciaCowden.com, or if you go to Facebook, Felicia for Council, and I'm in there. And I'm always available, and even if anybody wants to give me a call, 652-4363. And my email is akamaimom@gmail.com, and that's because my school is called Akamai Learning. Akamai means intelligence or common sense. So A-K-A MAI, mom, like mother, M-O-M, at gmail.com. And I really want to hear from anybody and everybody, and I'm an open door and always have been.
And on,
thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box. We've only got a couple more minutes, Felicia. I want you to, again, share the dates of your fundraiser, if you will. And,
it's not a fundraiser.
Okay,
I mean, people, anybody, frankly, anybody is willing to, who wants to donate, that would be really great because it's expensive to run. And but I haven't charged for anything. John Cruise came and played three events. We did Princeville, Waimea, and Poipu. So this time around, there'll be music at them, but different players than that. I have Sunday after next, the 13th of July, 4 to 6 p.m. in Kapa'a at the Coral Reef Motel, right on the water, beautiful grass lawn there, right on the bike path. Then the following Wednesday at Sweet Marie's in Lihue, that one is intending for people after business. That's Wednesday, July 16th, 4 to 6 p.m., there'll be flyers and things up, and it's on the website. And then the following Sunday, July 20th, 4 to 6 p.m. at Kukui Olono at Kalaheo. Beautiful, beautiful little golf course there. And people, register to vote. The deadline is next Wednesday, July 9th. That's the main thing I could ask for people. Whether you agree with me, whether you don't, vote. Because that's where the power is, and it really pushes out there. There's a lot riding on this particular election here. And charter amendments, all kinds of things coming up.
A lot of it coming together. It's going to be a little bit more intense as we get closer to the primary, and then we will go from 20-odd candidates down to, is it 14?
To 14, and this is one of the first ones that I can ever remember where there's a lot of council members running. Last time, I think there was 9. The time before, maybe 10.
Right, candidates.
Candidates.
Yeah. Now
and
all
so
the incumbents are
now
coming.
There's like 20, and if you look at the history behind who's running, this is a reflection of the biotech issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to look as to who their background is to see if that is what is supporting what you feel is most important.
There we go. Well, mahalo's Felicia. It's good to have you back in the booth. And mahalo's Marin for coming on here at 6 o'clock for the Acoustic Luau. Mahalo's Tim. I'm just thanking everybody for being a part of this wonderful production and this beautiful station. Next week, Jonathan Jay, Dave Giroux, they will be back. I'm going out with this from Democracy Now!, something that caught my attention and want to share it with you.
Okay, I can. We have not always found comfort in killers. We have not always found solace being rocked in the bosoms of those who silently pray and openly destroy. No, not always have we mistaken mimicry for mastery or pretending for knowing or enslavement for freedom. But across my memory marches millions, bold, regal, resilient, confident, unshackled feet, stumping up spirits to guide us through this fickle material world. We like sun and moon folk, universal souls praying our prayers, singing our songs, Eshu, Ogun, Shango, Yemoja, Oshun, Obatala, Oya, Dambala, Aida, Wedo, Ra, Nkango, Olodumare, and Yame. We know all of you by name. We are people of beginnings, of culture, of strength. Not always have we given in to the empty threats and scare tactics of the powerless ones. Not always have we allowed the blood of our sons and daughters to color the streets while we're walking asleep, marching to the beat of death's siren song. They're still wearing their sheets with nooses in reach, showing their teeth and smiling, it seems. But I hear in the breeze, in the rustle of the trees, and the dangling of the feet, they say,